The last topic here, and a lot of this, what I'm going to talk about now, has really been introduced by our earlier speakers. What I'm going to be talking about now is crop rotation, and especially with the emphasis on increased grain production, and this is going to be Mississippi-related information. I would like to also acknowledge Davis Clark, who is my research associate on this project. I'm going to be talking about two different topics. One, and most of the emphasis is going to be on the long-term cotton-corn rotation study that's been underway since 2000. And it's at two locations, at the Delta Research and Extension Center at Stoneville and also at our satellite farm down at Tribbett. The studies themselves are actually N-by-K studies, but the data that I'm going to present is a summary across all 20 of those treatments, and I'm only going to talk about the overall averages of these. The two different locations are on different soil types. One is a fine sandy loam, and the other was a silty clay loam at Tribbett, and both of these are irrigated sites. And there, I will include a little bit of information on some of the nematode dynamics data that we've been accumulating in a few years of those studies. The other study that I'll mention just briefly, I'll go through that really quickly, is the centennial rotation at Stoneville that was established in 2004. It was established as a cotton-based rotation system, so the only continuous crop in there is cotton. We have combinations of cotton, corn, and soybeans, and we actually have, believe it or not, a corn-soybean rotation in there that does not include cotton that I added in back in 2004 when we had very few people actually doing a corn-soybean rotation. But all of those crops are grown each year, and there's a poster of that data over in a poster session for those that would like to get a little more information on that particular study. So the first study, this is a long-term study. This study was originally funded through Cotton Incorporated through our state support program in Mississippi. When we shifted emphasis to nematodes, they again funded it. So, you know, they funded this program for several years. To give you just an idea of what the initial treatments involved, this was a corn cotton. We looked at corn rates from 120 up to 280 pounds of N. And in Mississippi at the time, we recommended 1.3 pounds of N per bushel of expected yield on corn. So we were trying to fertilize for 200 bushel plus corn. Cotton, the nitrogen rates were 60, 90, 120, 150 up to 180, realizing that 150 and 180 are really pushing the upper limits, and very seldom do we get a response to nitrogen rates that high on cotton, but there's a lot of people still interested in wanting to know about those maximum yields. The N source for the study was a UAN solution. The K source in this case, we used the same K rates. Now this is K, not K2O, but 0, 40, 80, and 120 pounds of actual K. We use a liquid product just because of ease of application, since I have a liquid applicator, and that K source was a 0016 product. The two different soil types at the Delta Station at Stoneville was a Bosket very fine sandy loam, and as a soils man, I always got to put that taxonomic name in there for those of you, and I doubt if anybody out there actually knows what that means, but it is an alfasol. Most of the soils in the Delta are geologically young. But this was it's what we would consider one of our better cotton soils. At Tribbett at the satellite farm, this is a Forestdale Dundee soil type. We've got a lot of this in the state. A little bit lower yield potential, but with irrigation and drainage, we've gotten some awfully good yields off of this area, much better than the farmer was getting when we started leasing this land. These rotations were set up so that the fields rotated. The field was divided into three sections. We just rotated each study across the field. So, for example, in 2000, we had one section of the field that was corn, the second section cotton, the third section cotton. Now, in 2000 at the Delta Branch, this field had been in continuous cotton for as long as anybody could remember. And as I indicated, 2004 was the centennial of the Delta Research and Extension Center, which opened in 1904. So it'd been in cotton for a fairly long time. I've taken out the 2000 data because we really didn't have cotton following corn that first year. This is the way it's set up in the field. the Delta station had 5 replications. This is from 2007. I just put that in there for illustrating how the field was laid out. One of the things that was really interesting, this data actually came from 2000 through from an aerial image, some NDVI-type first information. And you see the 3 sections of the field. You've got cotton following corn, cotton following cotton, and the corn. And you see a very distinct line between these two, and you see a very distinct line between these 2 sections of the field. The only difference between these 2 sections was one followed corn and one followed cotton. All treatments were the same, planted the same day with the same fertility. The only difference was one followed corn, one followed cotton. If we take a look at the end of the yield situation here, cotton following corn that year yielded 1,416 pounds of lint as opposed to 1,187 pounds of lint, or a difference here, what I'm calling the rotation effect of almost 230 pounds of lint just from rotation. There was no other difference between that area. Now, to get into some of the results, I'm going in and looking at just the overall results from this. So this is all of the summary data. This is each one of these numbers is averaged across 5 replications and a 4x5 factorial. So you're looking at 100 numbers going into each one of these. So this column is corn. This is cotton following corn. This is cotton following cotton. And as I indicated in 2000, there was no cotton following corn because we initiated the study. So, but this is your overall information. And I've also put out here, I've got a column called response. And you'll notice that there's some red numbers in here and some negative numbers. So not always do we see a positive response to rotation. As Ray just pointed out on what Phil was talking about, there are certain times in a conservation tillage system where the response isn't positive, and I'll talk about this a little bit more later. But those 2 things, in fact, if you look at 2007, we had a 15% yield reduction in cotton following corn compared to cotton following cotton. And part of this deals with that better root system. We got a better growth of cotton following corn. Well, if certain things happen like rainfall in July, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, you know, we might be able to get a bigger, more lush plant, but that actually ends up with more boll rot and some other problems. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the factors. This is a summary of the corn yields across in this particular area. Notice that we have had yields in this field. In 2001, the corn yields were 230 bushel. Now this is in a field that had been cotton forever. The first year, I've got 141 bushel corn. I've got that listed as not applicable. One of the things that we dealt with that very first year of corn, and to get 140 bushel of corn out of that field after the way it looked at the beginning, how many of you remember Zoriel? Corn doesn't like Zoriel. So we had a lot of white corn in this field. So 140 bushel, we saw tremendous Zoriel injury. But this field had been in cotton for as long as anybody could remember. But the overall average for 11 years, and it doesn't include the 2000 year, we've averaged 195.4 bushel of corn per acre per year for the last 11 years. 2011, when we stopped this study, this shows this 145 bushel corn yield. This was what happens if you miss the first irrigation. We watered this field with surface water out of the creek. We missed the first irrigation. We've been in a drought. We didn't have a lot of subsoil moisture. We were not ready to water when we should have, and we never got it back. So 140 bushel, and we've had 100 bushel higher yield than that in that same field. So that was a mistake here. And I had some corn that year that actually yielded 0. And I come from corn country. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. But that's why I have Lyle and these guys working on irrigation to help us that are supposed to know what we're doing to really show us what we're supposed to be doing. This is the summary across all of the cotton. The blue bars are cotton following cotton. The red bars are cotton following corn. And you'll notice those a couple of years in there, you see those negative numbers. But overall, we've seen quite a bit of variation in the yield. This soil doesn't seem to take water very well. So some years, when Mother Nature helps us out, we've had a lot higher yields than in other years. If you take all of these numbers and drop out 2,000, you average all of this together, that rotation effect has been about 140 pounds of lint per acre per year, which is a 17% yield increase, lint yield increase. And that includes those two negative numbers in there in that yield. So we've had a really nice response on this sandy loam soil to crop rotation. This is the Trivet satellite farm. That test is continuing. We just completed 2013. Tremendous yields of cotton in 2013, over 1,400 pounds. If you look at the numbers in this situation, we still have a couple of situations here where we have a negative yield, but we don't have the same type of growth potential on this soil as we have on the sandy soil. So, and I'll talk more, a little bit more about that. A couple of these numbers in here that are actually the same number came into effect when we had some problems with weed control. Back in these early days, some of the herbicide materials we had and some of the products that we had available to control things like Bermuda grass and Johnson grass and corn, we didn't have a lot of experience with. So we had some weed issues that we had to deal with. So in the first year following corn, we had some weed issues that took us a year to get them controlled. So we didn't see that rotation response because of other factors. This is corn yields from that same area. We see some variation across the years, depending a lot on the amount of water we're able to get and the amount of cool. And also in this particular soil, when we can plant it. You know, if we get planted late here, then our potential goes down, but we're still averaging 181 bushel per acre per year for the last 13 years. Looking at corn, this is that same effect that you saw earlier, but the rotation effect at this location over 13 years has been 90 pounds of lint, where everything is the same, except the fact that it was corn following corn versus cotton following corn as opposed to cotton following cotton. So that's averaged about almost 9%. So we've got a range here from 9 to 17%. Increase in lint yields just from cotton following corn. Now, there's a lot of factors that come into play as to why we see some of these benefits. The climate and weather-related things are probably the biggest issues that we deal with in this. Rainfall total and distribution, solar radiation, cloudiness. You know, we've talked about some of these things earlier today. Physical limitations, drainage, being able to get water on, being able to get water off the field. Production-related problems, data planning, as it affects harvest windows. One of the things that was interesting at Trivet, we've had record rainfall in back-to-back years in August. 1 year, zero. The next year, 9. 100-year records in back-to-back years, and they're two extremes. Nematodes, you know, the effects of rotation on nematodes. One of the ways that we're controlling nematodes, and I'll cover that just real quickly. One of the things I wanted to talk about was just a little bit, this minus 8.1%. Now, this was in 2004. Let's look at rainfall. This is a rainfall distribution by month, and we had a tremendous crop in this area going in for middle part of June. But look at rainfall in June. 12.45 inches. So in that situation, we ended up with plants that had really good root systems, huge plants, but it's raining all the time. You know, I think some of the guys mentioned earlier talked about cloudy weather, bowl shed, square shed. You know, this is a situation where the bigger that plant, the more problems it had, and the crop rotation trying to develop a healthier plant with all this rainfall actually caused more problems. That was 2007. This is Trivet the same year. We only saw a 0.5% difference. Different soil type, not as sandy, but look at the difference also in rainfall. Now, these two sites are less than 10 miles apart, but you saw almost 5 inches difference in rainfall. Still high rainfall in the month of June. So, you know, those are some of the things we see in this rotation. This is, talk a little bit about the other extreme, a 50% yield increase due to rotations. Let's look at the rainfall distribution now for 2000. This is Tribbett, 2006. Look at Maine, June, July, and August rainfall. You barely see bars at all because we barely had any rainfall at all. Now, again, this was irrigated, but irrigation doesn't seem to work nearly as well as Mother Nature does. So we tend to see a huge response to rotation in that particular situation. The Delta Station the same year, you know, we saw a positive response at the Delta Station. We saw better rainfall, but that's a better soil. So even though these were the same year, you saw a 50% gain in one area, you only see a 37% gain in some in the other area, but both of them were good. Like I say, this is 2006, the difference in only 10 miles apart and the difference that rainfall makes in the growing season. The difference here, you know, 18 inches versus 10 inches over the same time frame. Again, located only 10 miles apart. So they really come into play. I want to mention just a little bit about nematodes here. You know, we did set this study up to evaluate. We went into the same plots we'd been going in. These are continuous with the cropping system that's there. We started pulling nematode samples. We pulled them after we planted, after the plots were established at mid-season, at the end of the season. And this is a system that was corn, cotton, and this is the second year cotton, what's in red here. So in that situation, in that second year cotton, we saw a tremendous buildup in reniform nematode numbers, where we were looking at a corn situation right here, where we had been cotton, corn. Corn didn't really allow, because it's not a host for the reniform, you don't see that big buildup. So, you know, we saw this a couple of different years, that where these systems, where you had the second year cotton, where reniform nematodes were a problem, you really saw a big buildup there of the reniform numbers. This tells me that I need to shift gears just a little bit here. I'll talk just briefly. I've got about 2 or 3 minutes to talk about the centennial rotation area. We are in the 11th year, starting in 2014. All treatments will be back to the same point in 2016. It starts repeating itself. Now, this is a planned 100-year study. I don't plan to be there at the end, but, you know, there's a lot of long-term rotation studies around the world. There's one in Rothamsted, there's one at Auburn, there's one at Worcester in Ohio, and the Morrow plots at the University of Illinois. There's not a lot. So this is a replicated study. We actually have this field set up with 4 replications. All of the rotation treatments occur each year. This is what it looked like in 2013. It's irrigated. We're using twin row soybean production. We're using the latest technologies available in variety selection. It's irrigated, but the only crop that's in there that is continuous. And in what we're doing, you've seen some of these numbers earlier, we're looking at growing the crop, but we're looking at what happens, you know, how much accumulation of NPK and S, uptake and removal. And you saw a little bit about these, so I'm just going to skip through this real quick. This just gives you the idea, and we're using these numbers to estimate how much we're actually coming. And I don't expect you to be able to read any of this. This is just the way we're analyzing what's going on. This is the yields from each year going through. We keep track of each plot, and then we average all of that, and so that we go in and we've got the yield. And then we take those uptake numbers and removal numbers, and then we can go in and we can calculate the total amount of nitrogen, the total amount of phosphorus, the total amount of potassium. Now, these, again, are estimated based on those numbers and the yields, but it gives you an idea about the total amount of uptake. And as you see here, and you may be able to read this top line, for example, you know, in uptake on cotton, this is uptake number. This is a continuous cotton system that's been grown in cotton for 10 years. We've taken up 1,671 pounds of N. If you go down to the corn soybean rotation, which is treatment 7 and 8 here, we're looking at a nitrogen uptake here, depending on the years and the yields, of course, but almost 3,000 pounds of nitrogen. If we look at the removal, We see that in our continuous cotton situation, you know, we're not removing nearly as much nitrogen, P and K, as we are when we start rotating these crops. So if you look at the corn soybean, you know, the nitrogen removal, now granted, the soybeans are producing their own nitrogen. But if you look at that, you're looking at over 2,000 pounds of nitrogen has been either produced and removed or added and removed in that situation. So when we start adding these grain crops in there, the amount of nutrient removal is getting much, much higher. So that takes us to the point where we really need to be concentrating on soil testing and on removal. All of these things come into play when we start adding those grain crops. Now, this is only talking about the grain itself. You know, the other factor, and there's been a lot of discussion about stover removal. You know, you saw the difference between uptake and removal. Those numbers are huge, but if you start taking corn stalks off a field, for example, you have the potential to remove tremendous amount of other nutrient material. So we have a lot of concern about that. But you know, these factors that I listed earlier really come into play a lot when we have to start talking about the rotation system. Monocrop, I've got one field left that I've been in, have research on now that's in continuous cotton, dry land. Everything else is rotated. So that's where we've moved to over the last 20 to 30 years. I didn't talk anything about disease issues. You know, you've heard discussions today about weed control and some of that kind of stuff, you know, with dealing with resistance and being able to rotate herbicide materials. All of that comes into play, but the final and the most important part is whole farm economics. You know, how does this play into everything? So with that, you know, I've reached the end of the time. I think you guys have reached the end of your patience. Hopefully that you have found that this method of addressing you through the consultants conference has been a bonus to you. And with that, I'll stop and ask, do we have any questions? Yes, sir.
I have two. One, and I may have missed it, was it
no-till,
clean, conventional
till, or conservation till? In my case, the question was the type of tillage. This is all conventional. All conventional, all bedded in 40-inch rows because of irrigation and drainage. Okay, the second question was, were there any cover crops used? No. This is all clean till. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Those were really hot, dry years. And one of the issues that we have on that particular, even though it's irrigated, is being able to get water into the ground. I think Jason mentioned on some of his things about, you know, moisture sensors not moving. You know, we run water across the field, but if we don't use some kind of a surge flow, I don't think we're getting water into there, and it doesn't seem to respond to the irrigation. And I think that's part of them. Those were hot years. Our high corn yields tend to be years where our nighttime temperatures are cooler. The plant has time to rest. And that's true for cotton, for corn. It's true for soybeans also. And I think that's part of the issue there is the years, the weather-related phenomena there. Any additional questions? Well, panel, I certainly appreciate your time and your efforts here. I think it was great myself. Audience, we certainly appreciate your time and your attention. I know it's been a long day, but hopefully it's been a worthwhile day. So we thank you for your attendance, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you.